deserve praise.
Come on, everybody, let's just sing it. Let's just sing
worthy
it.
Is worthy your is your name.
Worthy, worthy,
worthy is your name.
Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus.
You deserve
you
the praise.
You deserve the praise.
Worthy is your
worthy
name.
Worthy is your name.
Last time, worthy. Put your hand on your chest. Everybody, just put your hand right on the center of you, the center of you. And just say these words. Say, Lord God, today I want to experience more of you. Help me and help us to sense your presence and then respond to your wonderful love. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look, the person that's next to you, say, I'm so glad you're here with me. Come on, look at them, look at them, look at them, look at them. So glad you're here with me. So you heard Julie share. Hey, look, can we honor the worship team for helping us to experience God? Thank you. Jayme, Naomi, and Dino, Joe. And Denise. You know, Julie shared this morning just about God's presence and how he is just so good and his love is so extreme. And he really, you know, we wanted Naomi to sing that song again, Worthy is Your Name, because he really deserves all of our praise. Amen. Because of what he did for us. And he changed our lives. Because of in creation, Adam really giving in to the temptation of Satan, the Bible says every man or woman that was born in a state of separation from God. A separation from God. But right away, even though they disobeyed God, and there was wrath, there was punishment that was coming, God's love for mankind went into operation right away. And he started preparing for Jesus to come to set us free. 42 generations happened. And sometimes we think, oh man, why didn't he do it just right away? But God's got a plan, and his timing is not our timing. In fact, the Bible says that a day with the Lord, it's like 1,000 years. And we look at it like, oh, tomorrow or the next day. No, he's got a timing that goes beyond how we see timing. And eventually, Jesus came. And when he came, unlike the first Adam, Jesus is considered the second Adam. When Satan came to tempt him, He stood strong. He was our Redeemer. And not only did he live a blameless life, when he died, he took all sin, everybody's sin, on himself. That's why he's worthy. That's the reason why. The Bible says that even though God allowed him to die for us, God chose him to die for us, it was the power of the Spirit of God that raised him up from the dead. And Satan thought he had killed him, but he didn't. It is the ultimate hero story. The ultimate. I mean, we go and we celebrate the Avengers and Spider-Man and Captain America. There is no hero like our hero. There is no God like our God. And God raised him up from the dead, and he reigns victorious. And so for anyone who says, Jesus, in the courts where justice is done by God. Jesus, I want you to be my counselor. I want you to represent me. And so I accept you as my Savior. Your blood washes my sins away. And today, being a time of baptism, it is a public recognition that I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And when he died, I was buried with him by my decision. And when he was buried, I was buried with him by my decision. And when he was raised up from the dead, my faith in him says he raised me up from the dead as well. And all of these candidates that are up here this morning, they made that decision. And so they want everyone, friends and family. They want the devil and the demons. They want to celebrate in front of heaven. And one of the most important things is their minds connecting with the fact that my sins and my iniquities, he said, I'll remember them no more. So baptism today, for them, just like many of you when you got baptized, it should help your identity. And when it's time for them to get baptized one by one, listen, we're going to freak out. We're going to go off. We want you to get your vocal cords ready, get your stretch. We're going to yell and scream and celebrate what has happened in their lives. You know, the Bible says when one person comes to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. So we want to rejoice. And so the mind needs to be connected with it. And we're going to have a great time. Where's our assistant pastor? Where is he at? Dino Giuliano is going to be joining me as we baptize these wonderful candidates. And afterwards, and Julie didn't share this, but I want to share this. All of you are personally invited for a time of fellowship and food, wonderful, wonderful food, right afterwards in our lower level, where we're just going to celebrate, enjoy each other, celebrate with each other, celebrate these amazing lives who have made decisions for Jesus. There's nothing like community. There's nothing like family. There's nothing like closeness and friendship. So please, please, they ordered some great food, so hang around, and we'll have a good time. So that's the picture of water baptism. But I'm going to talk to you for a little bit, and it's going to be short because it really is just an introduction to what we're going to be into right after next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because there are two baptisms. There's the water baptism, but Jesus said there's more. And sometimes we shy away from this particular baptism because there's been so much confusion, and it's just some crazy stuff that I believe the enemy has really bought to take the power away from it, because we have to have it. And so we get caught up with things like tongues, and we get caught up with things like comparing gifts. And it causes us to, some of us to say, I don't know about that. Just because there is counterfeit money doesn't mean that there's not real money. And just because there are some things that have been communicated in error, or the majoring on things that really should have been a minor, doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan. So we have to talk about what Jesus says is important. And so we're going to spend some time after Resurrection Sunday, after Easter, after next Sunday, we're going to get into more of this topic on how to be baptized in the Spirit. Don't get scared. Don't You know, we're not talking about standing on our heads and swinging from the ceiling and grabbing a bunch of snakes and doing it. We're not talking about a bunch of foolishness. We're talking about just really walking in the fullness and the reasoning behind God's plan. So I want to give you some things today. So let's get into just for a few minutes. I want to stop at a decent time so that we can have some fun dunking. Because really, you know, that's what baptism is dunking, right? We're not sprinkling. Jesus went down into the water and came up out of the water. What is that? That's a dunk. It's a dunk. He wants there to be immersion. And when you come out the water, the mind says, I'm a new man, I'm a new woman in Christ Jesus. I wanna recognize and consider just what happened. And even though it happened in my heart or in my spirit, the demonstration of it is supposed to be in front of everyone. Whether it's one person, like this guy named Philip, he found this Ethiopian eunuch just looking at scripture, and he found out that the scripture was talking about Jesus. And then he found out about baptism. And this eunuch says, well, here's water. Why can't I be baptized now? And I'm going to tell you something. I'll go off the grid for a little bit. And if you're religious, I'm really sorry. But I am looking for the day where we don't have these. I'm looking for the day where there is such a commissioning of believers who love the Father and who love people. And when people make a decision, I believe in Jesus, that believer that is next to them can say, hey, let's go get baptized. We don't have to schedule it. We don't have to wait until everybody can come. Like Janae did a little while ago. Janae is our lead. She oversees our prayer ministry here. And someone got born again, and they went upstairs in the bathtub? Bathtub. Here's water. Help me with my mind right now. Help me with my thinking right now. I know what happened in my heart. But now let's work on my mind, and I want you to witness it. And so, Janae, baptized. Thank God that we all are priests. And I'm not saying everybody's got this pulpit ministry and you need to go and find a collar to wear. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God wants to partner with people in the earth. And so our boldness and our confidence has to get to the place where we're ready to represent him. Jesus said, the things that I do, you're going to do. And even greater than what I'm doing. And so we're getting there. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. So we may not be calling you baptized people tomorrow, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there. So, but we're going to talk about, besides water baptism, which is important. And I want to stress that over and over. Water baptism is important. It helps everyone to see, I have repented. And repented just means I was going this direction when I was leading my life, and I was even following the course of this world. Everything that spirit that goes against God told me to do, I did it. I even thought that I was in charge. But I found out about Jesus and how he came to die for my sins. Not just what I did sinful, but my sin nature because of how I was born. And because of Jesus' blood and sacrifice, I accepted it. And in an instant, God did an operation on me. and my spirit was reborn. So now I look like God the Father. I am born again. Is there anybody in here? Raise your hand if you've been born again. Raise it high. Don't be, wow. Look around. Everybody look around. Look around. I've been born again. The humility in it says it's not something I did on my own. It's not even something that I deserved. But it was God's mercy and his grace. It says, I'm going to fix it. Even though mankind sinned against God and God had a right to punish everyone, ultimately in death, he says, I am going to provide the answer. That's why we love him. That's why we love him. And as our friend on this past Friday night, a few of us went to see our brother Bob Sorge, is a great, beautiful, beautiful picture of the cross. And as he laid out, and Julie mentioned it again this morning, and so did Naomi in worship, it's not performance-based. God doesn't love this group. God doesn't love me. God doesn't love Pam. God doesn't love all of you who raised your hand because you perform. No, he just loves you. And he says, not only, he says, I'm going to make you right with me. Make you right. That's what righteousness is. It's the ability to stand in the presence of God as though sin never existed. And you stand in a holy place. Just right in his presence. And he says, I'm going to make it so that you're right with me. I'm going to make you justified in my presence. And it won't be because you did this right, you did that right, you said this right. It's going to be because of my son and his blood. And he's going to take your coat of wickedness and disobedience and sin and all the other things that go along with it, including your position. Because of Adam's disobedience, you were positioned apart from God. He says, I'm going to have my son Jesus take that coat off of you. And he's going to put it on. So now he's going to be clothed with sin and wickedness, full disobedience, not just of one person, but all. And he then is going to take his good coat of right standing with God, and he's going to give it to you. And so now you have been made righteous. And when you stand in God's presence, you don't have to say, oh, God, please don't kill me. Oh, God, I'm sorry for... No. You can walk in like a son and a daughter. Like you belong. Not because of you. Because of his love. But your faith satisfies him. That's why it just shall live by faith. That's why faith is what pleases God. He says, all I need you to do is believe in what I've provided for you. These wonderful individuals have. And they're not wonderful because they have. They're wonderful because he is and he's in them. Can we love and honor these men and women who have made a decision for Jesus? Come on, y'all, give it up. Come on. Woo-hoo! Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. It's that kind of fun and light and joy that we should be in. So I told you I want to talk to you about spirit because it's important to understand God's design. So why don't we look at this baptism? That's the title of this. I'm not going to get through it all. We probably only have about 10 minutes of this, and then we're going to move to baptizing or dunking. Raising to new life. So let's go to Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to give you some points. Matthew chapter 3. And when I get to the points side of it, I just want you to take out your phone and take pictures just in case, you know, we have to cut it off and we don't get through all of it. I still want you to have some things that you can soak in. And as always, If there's anyone afterwards that has questions, or you want to make a decision for Jesus, or you want to explore more on how to be filled with the Spirit, hey, hang around. Questions are easy. And then on Wednesday evenings, we have this thing called Unpacking the Point, where we get a chance to go a little bit deeper. St. John chapter 3. And look at what this passage is. This is St. John chapter 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist. Look at this. He says, this is John now. John, that's why they call him John the Baptizer. John says, I baptize you with water, those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So I want you to see that there are two baptisms. Everybody say two baptisms. Two baptisms. Now, look at the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. This is Jesus after he was raised up from the dead. Jesus is about to leave the planet. He's about to leave the planet. And look what he says. Because he was here on the planet for 40 days after he was raised up from the dead. And during that time, he says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water. What did John baptize with? Water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with Holy Spirit. Now, you know, unfortunately, there are times when we get really spooky with this. We get really spooky, which is why, you know, this next series we're going to go in, we're going to talk about how to really connect with the Spirit of God, how to sense his presence, how to dial in to him. Because sometimes we'll look at somebody, and because that person is speaking in tongues, or because that person is prophesying, or, and these are all things that are in Scripture, but sometimes we major on performance. And we're not supposed to major on performance. There's reasons that God wants us filled with the Spirit. And so let's look at these reasons. Look at these reasons. Look at these reasons. The first point I want to bring up, first point I want to bring out, is that the baptism of the Spirit is the Father God's ultimate purpose for his people. That's his Spirit. God is a Spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well this one time. She was this woman at a well, and Jesus gets led over to her. And he starts this dialogue. And personally, I believe he starts this dialogue because he was, listen to this, he was led by the Spirit of God. We got to get this part down. Being led by the Spirit isn't, you know, someone walks up to you and says, hey, how are you doing? You're like, oh, no. He goes to the girl and says, hey, give me some water. She's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. They're not supposed to talk to each other. Because of history and race relations, even male, female, they're not supposed to have conversations. But Jesus breaks that. I want you to know something. There's a lesson in that. When you are led by the Spirit, certain things that bind up in our culture, Jesus is breaking. He's breaking. That's why that whole political thing shouldn't keep you from loving somebody else. The racial thing shouldn't keep you from loving somebody else. Even because somebody's in sin or they've done some craziness, you're not supposed to run from this. Oh, no, you're a sinner. I'm not supposed to talk to you. No, he breaks it. And it's with the love of the Father. It's the culture of heaven. God is good. Nothing's impossible. The cross fixed everything. And everyone is significant. The person that's next to you, doesn't matter what side, just look at them and say, you're significant to God, and you're significant to me. So he walks to this woman and he says, hey, give me something to drink. Strategy. Give me something to drink. Will you give me some? And she's like, wait a minute. We're not even supposed to be having dealings, and you're asking me for water. And then he starts a conversation, words in the conversation says, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would ask me for a drink. And in the course of the conversation, he says words that sets her free. And then he makes this statement. The Father is looking for the kinds of worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. We got to learn how to do that. And again, it's not spooky. It's not weird. I say all the time, represent, if you're a Christian, represent God well, not weird. Because the devil can use weird to distract people. He's like, yo, that's too weird. That's so weird. That's so weird. Ultimately, he meets her at the point of her need, and she, being so changed, goes and tells everyone she knows, come see someone who knows things and said things that only God could have told him. And that's, when God does that with us, it's not for personal glory. Oh, wow, they're led by the Spirit. Oh, they know deep things. No, it's for him. It's that his love might be shown. It's like others, that others might be delivered. I embraced someone the other day, and they just began to weep. Why? God told me to embrace them and let them know this is the Father's embrace. And they had been battling depression and shame. But only God knew that. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. We don't need to be filled with the Spirit so we can speak in tongues. We don't need to be filled with the Spirit so we can use all kinds of gifts. No. There are reasons that God wants us filled. So let's look at these. First one, first point, the baptism of the Spirit is the Father God's ultimate purpose for his people. Look at second point. Take a picture of it. Second point. He didn't save us so we could just go to heaven. So this isn't performance. This isn't get right so you can go home. Ultimately, we will go to heaven. But that's not why. Look at point number three. He wants us to experience ongoing intimacy. Did I skip? Maybe I skipped. Yeah, I did skip. Number three is he saved us so he could fill us to overflow with himself. God wants you overflowing with him. Oh, what a picture it is to overflow with God. And look what we've got so far. The baptism of the Spirit is the Father's ultimate purpose for his people. Number two, he didn't save us so we could just go to heaven. Number three, he saved us so he could fill us to overflow with himself. All of God. So, Pastor, I don't know if I can take all of God. Listen, he wants to give himself to you. Look at the next one. He wants us to experience ongoing intimacy with him. This is a love relationship. I love the Father. He loves me. And here's the deal. We see that with the Father and Jesus. Jesus says it all the time. I love the Father. The Father loves me. I don't do anything without the Father. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what I see him do. And he was so in tuned or so filled with the Spirit that was the sweetness in the relationship. And the Father wants everybody to be like that. And not just this. I mean, this is great. And we have a way here through worship and teaching and embracing and loving and building up and edifying and comforting and encouraging one another. All those things show you that the Spirit is present. But it should be a picture so that we can leave here and still be filled with the Spirit. Filled with Him. He loves you. I want you to help me speak life into others. The person that's near you, can you put your hand on their shoulder? Ask them first. Say, can I put my hand on your shoulder? There you go. Now say these words to them. Say, the Father loves you. Say, the Father cares about you. Say this, you don't have to perform to satisfy Him. My desire and God's desire is that you are filled to overflowing with the Father God and with His love. I need you to get this. It took me a long time to get the religious aspect out of this, because if I did wrong, I didn't sense God's presence. And if I did right, it was like, ooh, man, I love God and He loves me. And He got my attention. He says, Terry, it's not for performance. He says, I love you, son. When John, I got one point I want to put up, but we're closing now. When John baptized Jesus, even Jesus was baptized in water. So Jesus comes up to John, who, by the way, was his cousin. And he says, okay, John, baptize me. And John's like, yo, come on, you know who you are, and I know who you are. I need you to baptize me. And Jesus said, come on, John, you know what we have to do? Because they both knew their calling was to bring God's redeeming plan. John was the one that was trumpeting it, going before Jesus. And then Jesus was the one who would come and be our redeemer. So John said, okay, I'll baptize you. And here's the picture. And Dino and I are going to do this for this whole group that's here. I guess that means John was stronger than us, because it's going to take two of us to baptize. Especially James. We both got to take you down, man. We both got to take you down. So John takes Jesus and puts him down under the water. And then when Jesus comes up out of the water, that's water now. The Bible says that the heavens open. And the Spirit of God came down and rested on Jesus. Here's a beautiful picture. A voice came from heaven and said, this is my son who I love, and I'm pleased with him. Now, here's the thing I want you to get. Jesus hadn't gone and done any miracles. In fact, every miracle that Jesus did was by the Spirit of God, not Jesus as a man. It was the Spirit of God resting on the man. That's why he became Jesus the Christ. When the Spirit of God comes into our lives, we become Christians, followers of that Christ. But before Jesus did any miracles, God said, don't miss this. Don't miss this. In fact, bring that down just a little bit. Don't miss this. Before Jesus did any miracle at all by the Spirit of God, God said to Jesus, I'm already pleased with you. I already love you. And we need to get that. Because sometimes we think, if I get a gift, if I flow in a gift, if I'm doing a 100% perfect Christian life, saying nothing wrong, doing nothing wrong, always right, that God loves me more. No, He says, I already love you. I'm already pleased. And this is why I don't have to compete with Julie. I don't have to compete with Pam. My gift doesn't have to be better than Denise's. I don't have to look and say, oh, they think I can preach better than Dino, or Dino can preach better than me. He's already pleased with me. He already loves me. It is a beautiful picture of God's great love, and he showed it on Jesus first. And he feels the same way about you. Satisfied with you. And he says, I want you to be so filled with me that you enjoy intimacy with me. Now it goes further. It says he didn't save us just so we can go to heaven. He didn't save us just so he saved us so he could fill us to overflow with himself. He wants us to experience ongoing intimacy with him. And look at the last one. He desires for us to become more like him. That's actually not the last one, but I want you to take a picture of that. So we become more like him the more we're filled with him. We don't become more like him the more we perfect right and wrong. We become more like him the more we are filled with him. Which is why the first step is accepting Jesus. And he breathed on those guys. He breathed on them. And they were born again. Their spirits had been born again. But then he was hanging out with them in Acts chapter 1. I showed you that. And he says, now I want you to be filled. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. Filled. I want to be filled. Every day, I ask him to fill me. Every day, I say, fill me, Father. Fill me. Fill me. I want to enjoy closeness with you. And I don't just want to know your gifts or your acts. There was a prophetic picture of this in with the nation of Israel and Moses. It says Moses, it says the children of Israel knew God's acts, the things that he did. But Moses, anybody know? He knew his ways. That's what God wants. So if you could play, or you could sing, or if you can preach, or if you, you know, you have the gift to be able to prophesy, or you have the ability to give a word, a supernatural word of wisdom. Or if God takes you to a place and some miracle flows through you, don't get so caught up with the acts and the gifts. Know his ways. Know how he is. Know how to be intimate with him. There are a lot of things that I know Pam, this is my wife. This is my wife, Pam. I know a lot of things that she can do. I mean, she's so intelligent. She's a scientist as a trade. She has gifts. I mean, she's just, and those are really cool things. But man, I know her. I'm close with her. There is an intimacy of knowing that we have, and the Father says, that's the same way. And it doesn't have to be just for, you know, husband-wife relationship. It could be friendship relationships and closeness relationships. I've got close friends, and some of you do too. And family members, it's like, oh, we're just so connected. And the Father says, beyond that. That's why he's called Father and not God, because it's relational. He says, I want you to know me. And I want to fill you with me. And I want you to be like me. But what's that last point up there? The last point, and this is the ultimate. He wants us to change the world with him, which means that there are broken people. When John brought Jesus up out of the water, heaven opened and said, this is my son who I love. And then he was filled. And I don't think that was the first time or the last. I don't think that was the last time. Jesus was constantly being filled to overflow. And he said, right after that, after he had come out of the wilderness, he went into his own hometown, filled with the Spirit. This is Luke chapter 4. And then he went and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Try that out. Everybody try that out. Say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has poured himself on me. Now listen to the group. For the blind, for the poor, for the broken, for the bruised, for the captive, and for the sinner. for the brokenhearted. So God wants to enjoy relationship with you, but it's not just so you can go to heaven. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants you to be more like him. He wants to flow in and on and around you all the time, because there is a world full of broken people. And he wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you. Bow your heads where you are. Father, thank you for your great love for us. And we thank you that you have such a desire to partner with us in your kingdom. Thank you for desiring to be close and intimate with us. Thank you for loving the world enough to send Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. May today, Lord, anyone who doesn't know you here in this room, or those who are watching online, may they experience your love. Your love. Your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, your power, your joy. May they experience it, Father. And may they never be the same. And may those around them never be the same. Still with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to reach out to anyone who has never said those words, and not words to perform, and not a formula, but just the kinds of words that says, I need Jesus in my life. And today, hear the words, and you can say them. Today, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe he lived for me. I believe he died for me. I believe he was buried for me. And I believe God raised him up from the dead. So Jesus, be my Savior. Raise me up to new life, where God becomes my Father. And fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, will you snuggle next to somebody if you